CurseCleveland.com podcast. And now, without further ado, today's host, Sportsboy Tony.
Along with Rossitron and Neil Sika, who we brought back despite many letters of criticism, we're going to do another podcast as the Cleveland Cavaliers roll on to another double-digit victory over the Pistons. And first, before we get to Neil, we got to start out with Ross, because Ross was actually there. He was at the Palace of Auburn Hills and didn't get involved in any fights or anything like that, but instead watched the Cavs roll to another easy victory. Ross, what was it like at the Palace?
Anthony, it was awesome, dude. And this is the fourth road game I've been to this year. I was at New Orleans, at Chicago, at Phoenix, which you started to see a bunch of Cavs jerseys finally in Chicago and Phoenix. And then today, it was just arguably was one of the 10 coolest games I've ever been to. Obviously, it's a playoff series closeout win or whatever, but and I would have gotten in a bunch of fights, but I was there with my smom, Patricia DiBello, and I didn't think she wanted to see me getting any fights with the Piston fans. But it was unbelievable, and I'm sure you could hear it on television. You had to be able to hear it on television. But especially down the stretch, the last 6 minutes, when it was just like, you know what the Cavs do. I mean, we celebrate, the fans celebrate, the players celebrate, and all of a sudden it was LeBron going to once everybody was just standing and partying, it was then LeBron going to the hole for just a half-court dunk, a turnaround fade, Michael Jordan fade, the crowd went wild, he kept getting fouled, kept going, he was 16-17 from the line tonight with a bunch of yelling MVP during the free throws. One of the first scores of the game was the windmill dunk, and you could just tell. I mean, they're just Cavs fans littered everywhere. So, it was a ton of fun. It wasn't just
Russ. People are going to talk about how many Cavs fans actually made the trek up north to Michigan. How many fans? I mean, what percentage are we really talking that were in attendance up there?
I would say. Well, first of all, I don't think the game was sold out. So there's still a decent amount of empty seats in both bowls, actually. But I would say probably about 30% Cavs fans. But, I mean, it sounded like it was over half. I mean, obviously, the Pistons fans are there watching it. And a lot of the Pistons fans, honestly, are in awe of LeBron at this point. Like, he's just beating his guys off the dribble, going and scoring.
They're in awe if they sell a Ford.
That's a good point. But I mean, he was just doing what he wanted like usual, and the rest of the Cavs were helping him out. They were draining everything. And the two blocks, he had a block down the stretch in the half court that just got everybody going, and he really celebrated off that one. And when he was on the floor, and the Cavs fans obviously didn't leave, and when he was on the floor doing the interview and the rest of the Cavs were walking the tunnel, it was really insane. And then as everybody walked out of the stadium and in the outer concourse, you know, it's Cavs fans just high-fiving each other like crazy, just doing the crazy MVP chant in the outer concourse and in the parking lot.
All those people were named Fred McLeod.
Yeah. And it's a setup like the Richfield Coliseum. They don't have like parking garages. Right. It's just like open parking lots. Just Cavs fans screaming everywhere. I wanted to try and start the Beat LA chant, but I don't think a lot of these newfound Cavs fans really understand come playoff time what we're getting into with the Beat LA chant. But I think in these next couple series, that's one of the chants I want to hear is the Beat LA, not just the Let's Go Cavs and the MVP.
Now, Neil, how much of this game today were you able to watch, and what'd you take away from it?
I saw a late third quarter through the fourth. I made the reference point, fellas, that it was like watching the Bulls, or at least the fans in the arena, the shrieks after each Cavs basket. It was like the Bulls of the 90s, except without the championships.
And the cool city.
Yeah, maybe that's to come, but look, a few nights ago on this podcast, when we got a record number of listeners, I had made the point that despite them blowing that lead, it wasn't going to matter because We're going to forget about it in 2 or 3 days. And I'm only bringing it up because I made that point, and we're going to forget about it because the series is over.
By the way, you mentioned the amount of listeners. We actually do have the statistics. I subscribe to a kind of a Nielsen ratings type thing. We had over 400 listeners to the last podcast, which is somewhere in between Adam Carolla and B. Arthur's latest podcast. So I think we're doing okay.
That's so hot right
now. We're getting more and more listeners, so you guys must be contributing much here to the podcast. So let me ask you this, Ross: when you saw that kind of traveling circus with as many fans that were able to trek out there, I mean, do you think that's going to be able to continue? I mean, wherever they play next, I don't think it's going to be nearly as close. But the Cavs fans, I mean, you got a lot of Cleveland, you got a lot of LeBron fans all over the country. I mean, this is something that's kind of new to Cleveland in general. I mean, there weren't Indians fans all over the country jumping on board when we were making a deep playoff run. And certainly you have Browns fans everywhere, but we haven't been in the playoffs or made any kind of a run lately. I mean, this is kind of new to the city.
Well, I mean, it definitely is, and I don't think – I mean, there was this weird situation with Detroit and the economy and them, like, beg, what they – did they take out an ad in a paper? Or what, I mean, they said – you know, they asked Cleveland fans to come up, and it wasn't a sellout and stuff. You're not going to see that in Atlanta or Miami or Boston and Orlando. I mean, if you want a ticket to those games – well, first of all, the travel's not so easy. That's more expensive. And then the tickets are going to be extremely expensive. We got our tickets at under face value today. But – and I think there's a difference, too, between – you know, actual Cavs fans and LeBron fans, or, you know, parents that want to take their kid, little kids, to see LeBron James, you know, more so, you know what I'm saying? There's a difference there between some of us diehards and, you know, who's there to see LeBron. Because LeBron at this point, and I did kind of want to talk about it, I'm ready to stop using him in Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant sentences and start using him in Michael Jordan sentences. Because, I mean, he's like I've said before, he's treating these opponents like they're little kids at this point.
Yeah, you've been doing this since he was in eighth grade, though, Ross. You've been using him in Michael Jordan senses since then.
I'll tell you guys, subject,
predicate, and comparison to Michael Jordan.
Well, hey, this is coming from somebody who I've never had the balls to, like, ask out a girl. But when LeBron Braun was a sophomore, I did, you know, muster up the will to go ask him for an autograph. And I think I was a senior in high school, a chubby senior with a spick stash in high school. So we have been waiting for this for a long time, and I have been making the Jordan comparisons a long time, not just with this first four games against the
Pacers. Neil, we talked about how easy we thought this could be, you know, after game one, but did you expect four games to be this dominating, including the two on the road, the Cavs just imposing their will and doing whatever they wanted?
Yeah, I mean, they still had a little adversity in Game 3, considering the guards didn't play that well. But when it mattered in the fourth quarter, you know, I could see that was the way that the game was going to turn out. You let them hang around. But clearly, from the beginning, I thought that the Pistons looked disinterested. Their 39-42 or 43 record, whatever it was at the end of the regular season, showed that. Rip Hamilton didn't look the same. Tayshaun Prince didn't look the same. Rasheed Wallace was in a stroll around the arena in every game in this series. So, partially, this is a different Cavs team than the past 2 or 3 years. In maybe last year they lose a game to this team, or maybe 2 years ago they definitely lose a game to this team, but they find a way here to close it out, and that's a growth process that I think many would agree with.
Ross, I couldn't hear him as well on the TV. How is our boy John Mason doing? I mean, is he starting to lose the passion a little bit? Is it not there? Are those calls as emphatic when he's making these proclamations of who exactly has the ball when, you know, so many of us at home don't know where the possession arrow is? Oh, we don't have possession arrow, but you know what I mean?
His contract is up at the Palace after this year, and they're looking to unload him. This could be his last season.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons they got rid of Chauncey's long-term contract.
Do they have a more valuable piece right now in Detroit?
Patty.
Detroit basketball.
Phillips.
No. Rip Hamilton. No. Patty D loved Mason. Patty D absolutely loved him. He was just as passionate as he's ever been. But when he would say the Detroit, all of a sudden it wasn't so loud from the fans finishing it up.
So he has the passion. He brought it, unlike his team. You know, you got to appreciate that work ethic. That's pretty good.
Unlike Detroit.
Boy, by the way, Fred McLeod, former Pistons broadcaster, kind of mixed emotions for Freddie this week. I mean, he had to see the other team that he acted as if they were winning the championship every single game in and game out, and now he had to jump on a different bandwagon in Cleveland. Had to be tough to see those other guys, those other Warriors that, you know, he was on the front lines with, so to speak, you know, to see the Cavs really make fools of them. Had to be tough.
I've always said he's a closet Pistons fan. He's been better this year, though. I haven't minded Freddie as much this year. It hurt to lose Michael Rigg. I heard him on the post game today, but I haven't minded Freddie as much today, and I didn't have to listen to him announce the demise of the Pistons. So I don't. I can't.
Neil,
really
any concern? I mean, it's going to be tough to find problem areas with this team the way they dominated this quarterfinal matchup. Daniel Gibson kind of look lost out there defensively and offensively, but is that anything to really be concerned about?
Well, if you have, I mean, the problem is he was guarding bigger guards in the series. I mean, he's always gotten problems. He's always had problems, at least defending a guy who can move and is versatile or can handle the ball. He's better stationary. Maybe they should play zone when he's in there. No, in all seriousness, Yeah, I don't even know. Hell, they're going to have a week off before they even know maybe who they even play. A week and a half tops. So hopefully Miami and Atlanta batter each
how
other
many,
out. And,
how many Cleveland.com and Waiting for Next Year articles come out in the next week about what this week does to the Cavaliers? Folks, let's open up the phone lines. 578-0850. Will the layoff hurt the Cavaliers? And how so? We'll take your phone calls after this break, brought to you by Joby's. No, but seriously, I mean, is this going to – this kind of stuff is talked about ad nauseum because we have nothing to talk about over the next week other than how the Lakers are doing and how the Celtics are doing and, you know, prospective opponents coming up. I mean, Ross, I don't think it's that big of a deal at all.
No, it's not that big a deal at all. And if anything, it's a good thing just because, whatever, Ben Wallace won't have to be doing anything. But, and, you know, I do think Ben Wallace will be important.
Hey, speaking of that, I don't mean to interrupt, but while we're on the subject of Ben Wallace, and this was an interesting – comment brought up to me at a watering hole last night. Is it not the perfect role for him, Ben Wallace, right now in what he's doing? Just playing 15 minutes a game. He can come in, even though he's not as mobile as he was before, but he can be effective, and you don't have to worry about him integrated back into the starting lineup because Varejao has created that role. This is almost perfect for him the way it is right now. I don't mind him playing in the situations that he is and going back to what they would have ideally had 2 or 3 months ago.
Oh, I agree with that completely. I just feel like, let's say we run into Orlando, you would want Ben Wallace maybe to use his 6 fouls and get whatever time, just hound Dwight Howard more. And then especially against the Lakers, if guys like Varejao or Z get in foul trouble, you know, maybe he'll have to play more than 15 minutes. Ideally, we could just win every game by 18 and he could play the 15 minutes and be fine. But I think at some point down the road, we'll see what happens if they need him.
Well, that or would Hickson be activated by then and then they could use him and Jackson to just beat the hell out of whoever in the middle?
I don't think Hickson.
No, and I don't think so either. And I really question, though, while I like the role that Ben Wallace is in, I do think it's a perfect one. The guy cannot leap, and that's what he brings to the table. And against teams with size, there aren't a whole lot of teams with size anymore left playing in the playoffs. But, you know, you're looking down the gauntlet at a Laker team that certainly has size. I don't know that Ben Wallace is going to fit in that series. So, Ross, you said before the podcast you want to talk a little bit about the Cavalier defense with Delonte West and, you know, what the guards have been able to do defensively against this Detroit team. I mean, what are you seeing out there?
Right. I mean, you just look at Delonte, Chase, and Rip, and there's right now there's nobody better served to work really hard against the opposing twos than Delonte West. And this is why he's not coming out of the game. When you talk about, like, Gibson playing and sucking, which, you know, for the most part this year he's pretty much been awful. But Delonte West is not going to be coming out of these games when you have the Joe Johnsons, the Wades, you know, Ray Allens, and Kobe. I mean, Delonte West. And then you know, you could change it up. Like, they put – Will Bynum was tearing us up again tonight at one point. They put LeBron on him, and LeBron actually did a pretty good job on him. Delonte didn't have as much success with Bynum as he did with Rip. But I – and then Mo Williams – what I want to say about Mo Williams, I don't know that there's a guy in the NBA contesting three-point shots like Mo Williams right now. He is flying into the second row and on any long-range jumper, he's trying to close out as hard as anybody. I didn't see one Piston try and close on one of our threes at all the way I saw Mo Williams do the whole series. And it was just impressive to me. I mean, it just shows how hard the Cavs are playing, how serious they take Mike Brown.
Do you find it funny, though, that in a game with such great athletes, when we're taught as kids, I can go back to my days with the Scott Roth basketball camp being named Mr. Hustle. The closeout and how it's not properly demonstrated by these NBA players of today as they go running and flying by the jump shooter. And even in college, no one – they teach you to close out in on the ball with the –
Did you say Scott Roth?
Scott Roth, who was a former
Is that a Jewish basketball camp?
No. He played for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He was from Brecksville, Broadview Heights. If you know anything about your scholastic Cleveland area stars –
Well, back in my days at the Muhammad Akbar training camp for baseball.
a good friend of Tucker Neal in his day. But
You know what? Hey, by the way, one of my pet peeves, because you mentioned that, we're all taught as children not to get up in the air to throw passes. Magic Johnson made a living doing that. I mean, it's one of those things I hate when I hear that because the guys like LeBron, guess what? LeBron can throw a jump pass. He's very good at it.
That's true. And Anthony, I know that me and you won a ton of those shirts at that Hiram basketball
competition
camp.
Competition plus.
All those Perry kids.
Neither of you were top 10 JV in 2006. Or not, 1996.
I heard Anthony Lyman was a knockout champion back in the day.
We did one-on-one. We did Skittles, all sorts of different varying events. Neil, let me ask you. We've got, obviously, we're going to be playing the winner of Miami and Atlanta. I don't know how much of that series you've been able to watch. What's on your radar there? Who do you think the Cavaliers match up better against? Who makes you nervous?
Well, if we had the ABC World News tonight with a special break-in, I could give you some insider information as to who the Cavs would prefer to play. But I'm just going to go ahead and do that anyway, and you can maybe edit it in later.
Detroit!
That's the wrong one. Okay, go ahead.
That's pretty bad. The parents, Sika, were out at an undisclosed restaurant in Brecksville, a famous spot, and ran into one of the 20 members of the Cavaliers' assistant coaching staffs who have tickets close to where the Sikas sit and were talking about the fact that they prefer to maybe take on Miami. Atlanta has that athleticism. Neither team, I don't think, can play defense in the clutch, but you can double and triple team Wade, and all you got to really worry about is a guy like Beasley, maybe off the bench. And I think the Cavs, who are 3-1 against both those teams in the regular season, would much, much rather prefer to maybe play Miami.
Was that entire story just so that you could get in and let us know, Neil, that you have really good seats at Cavs games? Was that the whole thing there? Your parents are well off. You did well in life.
No. The story is a complete truth. That has nothing to do with the tickets. Although they are nice seats.
Anybody want to hear Cold in the D yet?
I want to hear Cold in the D.
Loud, Bill. Let me hear you.
Hold on. Before we get done with...
We got to listen to this. This is the anthem right now as the whole city of Detroit is down to what seemingly its last few days. There are people starving in the streets. This is the anthem to lift them up.
Looks like we're going to have to show a lot of that J-Lo George Clooney move. What was that? That was shot in Detroit?
Neil,
all I know is, Anthony, tonight on the Gone Fishing TNT post-game show, Chris Webber, who is a Pistons fan, was yelling, and I mean, he's yelled a billion times this year. He's become him and Peyton became famous for it, but he was clapping and yelling and talking about the Billups trade and how bad the Pistons were tonight. We're in the LeBron sweepstakes, and he just kept yelling, we're in the LeBron sweepstakes, and Chuck and Kenny were laughing at that. They thought it was completely ridiculous, but that's how good this guy's gotten, that Chris Webber is excited that Detroit's cap space has them in the LeBron James sweepstakes.
Yeah, you have to. Well, why wouldn't he be excited? I mean, this LeBron character is pretty good at basketball, I'll tell you what.
That's the Cavs' small forward is he's leading them to some playoff wins.
Were you guys able to see any of the Celtics Bulls today? What a thrilling series this has become, and Ben Gordon continues to just be unbelievable in the clutch. And Celtics did not want to go back to Boston with the series tied at two, but that's exactly what it's going to be. And just like last year, this Celtics team that the Cavs have been the Cavs fans have been kind of worried about all season, of course with Garnett now, doesn't seem like they have him. They just continue to struggle in these games on the road. Not a good situation for them at all.
Yeah, I would say two things, and I don't really care about Chicago, but in terms of Boston, I think Rondo, Rondo will probably be an all-star for like the next 10 years if he stays healthy. I mean, at this point, through four games, he's averaging a sick triple-double. You know, I don't know the exact numbers. I know he's averaging a triple-double through four games.
It is possible to actually average a triple-double.
Oh, anything is possible. but no, I mean, I think his offense might be hurting his defense.
Anything's possible!
because, you know, Rose and Gordon still doing too much. And secondly, at this point, if you're defending the Celtics late in close games, how can Ray Allen continue to get these threes?
Unbelievable.
At the ends of games?
Paul Pierce had a rough day, but came through with a huge three-point play in double OT and then hit the three to get them back into contention, then just had no ability whatsoever to get a shot off at the end of the game. Couldn't be clutch for the third time in that game, and they are sent home packing. Neil, who are you pulling for in this series? Do you even think it matters at this point? Can the Celtics or the Bulls pose any kind of a problem down the road in the Eastern Conference Finals with the Cavs?
No. I still think Orlando would beat Boston right now, and I'm not concerning myself. I hope they just beat each other up and go to seven games.
I'll say about
that's
Orlando.
That's my analysis, Ross. You can
piggyback on that if you will.
No, I agree. I don't agree that I like Boston to beat Orlando, but I just think both teams are, you know, they both won like 60 games, but they're a shell of a 60-win team at this point, both of them. I just think Orlando's offense is just too horrible to win in the playoffs. I mean, there's just too much jacking of the threes. Dwight Howard cannot do what Tim Duncan does in the post. So I just think both teams, they're actually not 60-win teams. I think it's pretty clear.
All right. So I think that should do it. I got to find a song that we got to bump out to today. Neil, anything else to add?
Detroit basketball.
No, we got a different wheel of 504 boys here. Neil, I'm not sure if this is a fan. Neil, growing up in the very affluent community of Strongsville, in which he's able to procure all sorts of terrific seats to various sporting events. I mean, why call 1-800-AMAZING-TICKETS?
I gotta say, this is one of my mom's top favorite songs.
But Neil, anything else to add tonight is we get to celebrate a Cavaliers dominating sweep of the Detroit Pistons, our old foes.
No.
There you go.
Hey, it's going to be a nice week off.
It is. Well, one could argue that they had the last week off, so this is like 2 weeks off.
they're going to have 2 weeks off. They're going to be rested. I'm on to the second round where they're winning five games, whoever they play.
I say hopefully during.
I tend to agree. They might not do five against Atlanta, but I hope so. I think they still could.
With all this time
I think
off,
the Heat's going to win that series.
I'll try to get to the joke my third time. With all this time off, I hope, pray to God, Cavaliers don't consult with Jim Bowman, Jim Haycock, and the rest of the Buckeye bunch over there. All right, there you go.
That's a really good point, actually.
Neil, where did you see him? Did you see him in the Huntington Club?
No, I saw him down while I was walking around the North Market here in Columbus.
I'm sure you did. All right, guys.
Dropping the North Market.
Yeah, well.
614.
you know, I ran in.
We all know Neil was in short North.
ran into, well, yeah, there you go. Or ran into, you know, Thad Mata over the Scarlet and Gray. You know, it's tough to get tee times there, but, you know, I just walked up because my parents are very successful. We get it, Neil.
Yeah.
You're loaded. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. And we'll do this again in, like, say, 3 weeks, whenever the Cavaliers' next battle on the basketball court. And we thank everybody at home for checking out the podcast on CurseCleveland.com. And hopefully.
Hey, I am excited that the Browns drafted a former Nickelodeon star in the first round.
Who's that? Nickelodeon star.
The Browns didn't draft LeBron yet. In the first round, they're probably not going to have a winning season.
There was a debate, no lie, on the Browns message board of whether he would be the first pick in the NFL draft if he came out this year. I'm not even joking. That was the debate.
Just like that Duke point guard, LeBron got that college football eligibility.
Yeah, he does. So
Terrell Pryor, look out for your job.
All right, guys, we are stumbling through the finish line.
Guys, good night.
All right, very good. Thank you very much.
Go Cavs.
And we'll see you next time on the CurseCleveland.com podcast.